Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsor Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
When the lights go out in the city.
What it felt like this morning.
Oh.
About 10 times.
Really?
Flickered.
Yeah, man. I mean, it more than flickered where we were at. It went out.
What time of the morning was that?
Oh, let's see. 3 a.m.
Okay. So it wasn't too terribly long. I was going to say, I woke up around 1 o'clock. I had to let my dog out, and it was as dry as could be.
Yeah, no, no. The boomers came through. It's 1 hour. That's why Super Die drove through it, because it went through us 3 to 4.
Right.
Right.
And it went through down Indiana Way 4 to 5.
Right, prime time to drive in.
Prime.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Prime time driving when the lights
I can hear trees cracking. Who? I can see limbs coming down on the road. I was like, great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a commercial.
Yeah.
That's a commercial for a...
Car insurance or something?
Yeah.
Like
well, you know how they...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, they were dodging, you know, branches.
That's right.
On the Dan Ryan.
Very responsive.
There ain't no branches. If there's branches on Dan Ryan, there's been a tornado. So that ain't good.
There's no trees hanging over the Dan Ryan.
No.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but there's people that need to be more
so
careful.
So wild.
Allie slept super well last night.
How do you know that?
Well, because she had her sump pump installed. That will make you sleep better.
Yesterday. Yes.
Yesterday.
Before this huge storm. Unrelated to the storm. It just happened to land on that day that the plumber could get out there and
very
put in
good timing.
The backup battery and the backup sump
pump. So way to go, man. I went down this morning.
So
you know what I did?
Great.
Check your basement.
I went down this morning, checked my basement, and just took a peek at my battery.
Yeah.
And my battery's got the green light. Everything's good.
Oh, man. That's good.
So it's a little unnerving. I've never had a basement until 6 months ago when I moved into a house.
It's really good to have you know what? Having a basement's great. Having a dry basement is fantastic.
Yeah, a dry basement is definitely what you want.
Yes.
Do you guys have finished basements
or
unfinished basements?
Mine's finished.
Mine is finished.
Okay, well then that's even more important to keep it dry down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had an unfinished basement in my house I grew up in. And, you know, the sump pump stopped working during one of those specifically bad storms.
Yeah.
And so it was the water was about up to your knees or close to your thighs. And
what?
It was a good thing it was unfinished because, it was just horrible down there.
Yeah, the problem is you still got mold and mildew.
Yeah, that
so
is
you
the
got
thing.
It. And back in the day, they didn't know. Well, back in the day, they used to use products that could peel skin and it would really kill mold and mildew.
Ah.
But nowadays, you got to handle it differently. So, yeah, you don't want that water in there.
No, you really don't.
You don't.
Well, I'm glad you guys didn't have that.
We got text messages coming in. Anyone got anything to say here?
I don't know.
I'm sure they do. Is it about the storm?
How's it looking?
Yeah, I was wondering if we had anything about the storm. Nothing about the storm yet.
Just someone who saw a big lightning bolt that looked like a cross.
Oh, boy.
A lightning bolt flash.
Yeah, I was just cresting the hill coming down through the tollway inbound Kennedy. And there's one little rise that you get on. Right when I hit that rise, humongous lightning bolt hit the
really?
City.
Oh,
and
boy.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, those big ones really are
a
beauty.
Oh, my goodness. And the thing sat there. It's like...
Yeah.
I mean, that was a long one. It wasn't like a bing.
Yeah.
It was a... I don't want to do it again, but you know, you got the idea.
Long enough where you could like take a picture of it.
Yeah. 5:04 is our time. It's Carl and Crew Mornings here, and we are rolling today. We're talking different bodies of water. And today we're talking a body of water that is in the ocean. A big fish had indigestion in.
Ah.
Oh,
that's a dead giveaway.
I think it is, yeah.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
We've got a question for you. It comes out of the book of Jonah. Let me just break down the story here. Young Thunder joined me on this.
Okay.
Jonah was a cranky prophet whose name meant dove, which is really funny.
It is very ironic.
He probably had a real problem with the people that of Nineveh. He was asked by God to go there. He was told by God to go there. It wasn't an option. And
right.
Wanted to prophesy over it. It was a long ways away. This thing's like over 800 kilometers away. So it's a long journey for sure. But he got on a boat and he headed the opposite direction.
Right.
He headed away. God wanted to get his attention. Hmm. So he caused there to be quite a gale storm there out there in that there Mediterranean Sea.
That's right. And all the sailors that were with him were like, man, what is going on right now? This is a little much.
It's interesting that God uses a bunch of lost guys on a boat to cast lots and determine it's this guy down
Jonah?
In the,
yeah,
it's
for real.
The guy in the
it's
belly
you.
Of the ship.
What are you doing?
So Jonah went from the belly of the ship to the belly of a fish, from belly to belly. Hmm. And in the fish, we don't know exactly what went down. We've got a great prayer that's prayed in Jonah chapter 2. The whole chapter is committed to his prayer. But the last verse of chapter 1, is it the last verse of chapter 1? Yes, says, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. There's some question out there as to whether or not he was alive for 3 days or three nights, or whether he died and was resurrected from the dead and then spit up as a resurrected man. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's the case, if I could digress here for a moment, is that out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. Sheol stands for the grave. Could be a metaphor for he went into a entombed in a fish.
Yeah.
Could be literal for the fact that he went into the grave. He was dead.
Right.
One of the reasons that appeals for the death of Jonah in the belly of the fish is that in Matthew 12, verse 40, we find that it's the story of Jonah that mirrors the story of Jesus. Well, Jesus didn't go into the grave unconscious. He went into the tomb dead.
Right.
He rose from the dead. Hmm. So it really doesn't matter whether dead or alive in the belly of the fish, whether he was alive and then spit up or dead, resurrected and spit up. I'd say either one falls into the miracle category.
You know what? I would say the same thing. In all honesty, it's kind of like it'd be surprising in a sense that if he went into the belly of a fish and lived for 3 days and three nights. And so like that's pretty crazy in and of itself, but still
it
resurrection of the dead. And I that's just an amazing story.
It's an amazing story.
Yeah.
It really is. So there's a lot of takeaways from this one. Let me give you a couple. You can run away from your calling, but you can't outrun God. I've tried to tell Allie this over and over again.
Is that right?
We get off air and I go, Allie,
quit running from God.
You can outrun your calling, but you can't outrun God, girl.
Man. Yeah.
And I always throw in the girl part at the end.
This is a joke, by the way.
Yeah. The other one is this. Never run with people who are running from God.
Yeah.
Also true.
I'm telling you guys, don't run with people who are running from God. Just don't do it. It's just not wise. It wouldn't be prudent. And we're just asking you, how are you doing? And really, this story of Jonah leads us to an incredible thing because, see, Jonah ultimately obeyed God, and he went to Nineveh, and he was ticked off because he even told God, I knew that you were a God of long-suffering. Mm-hmm. I knew that these people would listen to you. And part of the reason that they listened to him is that the Assyrian people of that time in Nineveh, they were people who would have worshipped the god Dagon. And Dagon is a fish god. So imagine.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Imagine Jonah being spit up on the beach of Phoenicia.
Right.
Because there were witnesses. And I'm telling you right now, hey, the guy who was spit up out of that big old fish, remember? Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He's in Nineveh now, and he's saying, you better repent in sackcloth and ashes. So guess what? Even the king of Nineveh, he's like, give me some sackcloth and ashes.
Hmm. I love this story, and I Jonah's reluctance to do what God had called him to do. I love that it revealed that he actually understood the character of God very well. He did not want the God who he knew to be a God of mercy, a God who of steadfast love and compassion. He didn't want to extend that to this group of people. He did not want God to extend that to this group of people. It's like, I don't want to be the one to have to go and be the one who is the agent of mercy so that God can have mercy on these people.
Yeah, man, it's true. I mean, so there's classism here going on, probably a little racism going on. But God used Jonah to bring mercy to a city. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jonah grumbled, and you know, the end of this book ends with a question, and this is a fascinating thing. I don't know if you guys knew that, but this is the only book in the Bible that ends with a question. Only one.
Really?
Yeah. And
didn't
here he goes. And should not I pity Nineveh, the great city in which there are none? There are more than 120 let me start this again, people. And should not I pity Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? What a funny thing. It ends with that.
Yeah, it's kind of obscure.
But it's this, here's the takeaway from that verse. It's this simple. God is constantly reaching out to people who do not have a clue about him. His mercy, his love, his righteousness. Guys, he's doing it. And we can too. Well, we got a question for you. Did you ever run from God's calling?
Jonah ran because he did not want God to have mercy on these people. There's many different ways that are reasons why people run from God's call. It seems too hard. It requires too much sacrifice. Have you ever run from God's calling? And if so, how did he bring you back?
Matt from Cortland, how did you run from God's calling and how did he get you back, Matt?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing great, buddy.
Awesome. I was visiting my sister after church. I went over to her house on Sundays after church, just about 5 miles from the church. She was having all kinds of issues and problems, and I was talking to her. And God told me to tell her that he didn't hear the prayers of a sinner. And I'm like, no, Lord. He says, and he's speaking to my spirit. And he said, just tell her. And I said, I can't. That's my sister. He said, tell her. I said, she'll hate me. And he said, just tell her. And I refused to do it. The next 3 days, it was everything went wrong. If it could go wrong, it went wrong. I felt like I was in the belly of the whale for 3 days.
Wow.
After 3 days, I said, okay, God, I get the message. The next Sunday, I went back to her house, almost word for word scenario. And she got to the point where she's about done and got to tell her now. And I said, are you sure, Lord? He said, tell her now. So I did. I told her, and I was scared to death. I told her
I
waited for her to slap me or something, and she didn't slap me. She came up with an excuse, and I said, but God don't hear the prayers of the sinner. She gave me every excuse she could, and every time she gave me one, I'd say, but he doesn't hear the prayers of a sinner. When she ran out of excuses, she said, maybe that's what I need. She said, what time does your church start? She came to church and gave her life to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Matt, and that is awesome.
I know today I'm the pastor of that church.
Say that again, Matt. I missed that. Say that again.
I said today I'm the pastor of that church. So my final word on that is, you know, no matter how painful the task is, don't run from God. It hurts to run from God. But the rewards, no matter how painful the task, the rewards are pretty much out of this world. Rewards are great.
Wow. Matt, thank you from the bottom of my heart, Matt.
That was incredible.
That's pretty epic.
That is. I want to recommend a resource right here since Matt brought that up. You might hear, what do you mean God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners? Did you know that there are times when God will not hear the prayers? And one of them is, yes, when there's sin that separates God. He will distance himself. This it's a resource that Carl put together. I think you want to read it because it shows you the scripture of times when God does not hear our prayers. So text the word prayer to 312-274-9624. If you want to read that, text prayer to 312-274-9624.
Strap on your floaties and jump in the deep end. It's Water Week with Carl and Crew Mornings.
It's the goofiest thing. I always get a kick out of that. Strap on your floaties.
Jonah needed those. I guess it wouldn't have helped very much.
No.
He still would have been in the belly of a fish.
Do you know why some people think it was a whale?
Yeah.
The size?
Yeah, size, I'm guessing.
Yeah, size for sure. By the way, I was just mentioning that I was where I commercial fished. I've been on the ocean 2 years of my life, 8 seasons. We had gray whales up there that migrated up, Pacific grays. And I wanted to be accurate about this. They were 50 feet long. 40 to 50 for adults, and they're 60,000 pounds when they're full grown.
Wow.
They can live 50 to 60 years, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody check me on that one now.
Okay, lifespan of a gray whale?
Yeah, lifespan of a gray, Pacific gray.
Okay, so how many pounds?
60,000.
Wow.
Okay, so a car only weighs like between 3 and 5,000.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. How long are these grays living?
Actually, it says the maximum lifespan of gray whales is unknown, although one female was estimated at 75 to 80 years old after its death. So they
amazing,
have the potential
guys?
To live for a long time.
Oh, my.
Yeah. What?
So they're... Okay, so let's say 5,000 is a big car. So this is... So a whale weighs as much as...
Oh, yeah, 12. 12 of them.
12 cars?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I have a hard time describing this, guys, but when I'm... It's the eeriest thing. I'll say this again here really quick, and then we're going to get back into this question. But here's the deal. So I'm in the Ugashik Bay. We've got 300 yards of gillnet off the boat. And the way that this works is we run perpendicular to the beach, not parallel with the nets. Mm-hmm. So the fish swim up the coast. So you get that?
Okay.
Along, they don't swim into the beach. They swim along the beach, right? Mm-hmm. So they swim up the coast. And these salmon are swimming up the coast, so we've got a net pulled out. Well, guess what? The gray whales swim up the coast with the salmon.
Wow.
And there aren't near so many, but you see them, and you see these spouts. Well, it was super calm, which made it way more eerie. There's a light, light fog on the ocean, but it's like super calm. Like
still water.
Yeah, we used to call it baby booty smooth. And it was like smooth as could be. And I see this spout, and then I'm like, oh, no, oh, no. Because the last thing you want to do is have a whale take your gear, which means a whale swims into your net.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And here on the VHF radio, which stands for very high frequency, is, no, no, we got grays, got our net. And they got the net, and they're dragging the boat through the water backwards.
Oh, no.
And these guys, having a net on them is like nothing.
Can they drag you down then?
No, they can't drag you down.
Okay.
But they can flip you over, which then you go down, glug, glug, glug.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing about this, and now I see a spout, and it's coming for us. Thankfully, it wasn't at our net, but it's right at our boat. Here it comes. And I get out this fish plunger that makes echo noises into the ocean. And I'm yelling at Marvin, turn on the cat. And which we've got a big 3208 turbo Caterpillar diesel motor on board. And that, when it starts up, it sends vibrations. And the gray whales will see that as, uh-oh, we got to get out of here.
Okay. Yeah.
So thankfully that thing dies. But I need you to feel this with me. That thing comes up out of the ocean. It's super clear water in Ugashik. Further up north, Igigik and Dillingham and Naknek, where we fished, it's super silty, so you can't see anything coming out of the water. But this is super clear water in Ugashik District. And here it comes. You've got to understand, this is like a house coming out of the water. Okay? And it's like, and it looks like a submarine, a humongous submarine. And it's coming. And this thing sees me, and he catches eye contact.
Really?
With me. Oh, yeah, from a distance, probably 50, 60 feet away. And I'm plunging, and he's looking at me like, oh, dude, I see you. And he sounds, and his big fin comes up, flaps out of the water as he goes right underneath our boat.
Oh, man.
It was something else,
That's
people.
Crazy.
That's a life in Alaska for you.
Anyway, so did Jonah get swallowed by a whale? Or is that too big a miracle for God? Are you kidding me, people?
When you say it out loud, is that too big a miracle for God? It kind of sounds silly. It's easy to think. Okay. I've done it too, but it sounds silly when you say something
sure
like that.
Sure does.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsor Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Just got an email from an external source telling me that my password for Carl Clausen at Moody Duke.edu is expiring.
From an external source.
Spam, oh, yeah. spam. Ooh,
and they want me to click here and...
No.
Well, of course not.
Man.
6:05 is our time, and we are rolling here, guys. We're talking about bodies of water this week. I was taking a bath. All right, what are we talking about, Allie?
Well, today we're going to the Mediterranean Sea, and we're looking at the story of Jonah.
He took a bath.
Yes, he did.
That's he took one a way big bath.
He got some phlegm on him as well.
Ew.
All right, let's walk through this story of Jonah. Take it away, guys. I'm going to sit here and listen. Go. Kick us off, Super Die.
Well, there's this gentleman. God called him.
A gentleman? That's a reach. Well, see, that's right off the get-go. He's actually an old curmudgeon, but yeah. Go ahead.
Well, yes, and God called him to go to the city of Nineveh, which was not a good city. We'll leave it at that at this point, and to bring, of course, the good news and to tell them what they were doing was wrong, that they needed to rededicate their lives to God. They needed to get it together. Well, Jonah was like, no, I don't want to do that.
I'm going to go the opposite way.
Yeah, and so he jumps on a boat, and he flees in literally the opposite direction of where Nineveh is. And as he's out on this boat with a bunch of sailors that he doesn't know, this storm starts brewing, and it is a crazy storm,
yeah.
So much so that the sailors who don't know God are like, we need to cast lots to find out who's angry with God.
They go into the bowels of the ship and they find this guy.
It's you. It is you. You are the one who has brought this down upon us. So he says, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. So he gives them permission to, he knows, I'm doing wrong. This is probably because of me. Go ahead and throw me overboard. Get swallowed up by a very large fish, maybe a whale, maybe some other sea creature.
He's a fish.
Where he remains for 3 days.
So the only question is this, and let me pick the story up from here. The question is, was he alive or dead in the belly of the fish? And I want to tell you, both positions are solid ground.
Sure.
Yeah, he could have been alive in the belly of the fish, because when we find in verse 2 of chapter 2, it says, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. That could be symbolism, meaning that, man, I'm in this belly. I feel like I'm in this grave. It could be literal. He was dead.
Yeah. Now, question for you. He says, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. He prayed that prayer in the fish, didn't he? Am I mistaken on that?
But we don't know. This is a prayer that's prayed. He could have been dying. It could be a metaphor, even that.
Gotcha.
But whatever the case, he was either brought back to life or he stayed alive. Now, one of the reasons some theologians believe that he died is because in Matthew 12, verse 40, the story of Jonah is used as a metaphor for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we know that Jesus, when he went into the tomb, he was verifiably
dead.
So there you have it. So he comes up, gets spit out onto the beach. Now, this is huge because the people of Nineveh worshipped Dagon. Dagon was a fish god. So when you see a gentleman about 5'10", looking of a humanoid origin, spit out of a whale onto the beach of Phoenicia.
Barfed up.
You might think maybe we ought to listen to this guy.
Yep. Okay. I'm curious. What you got to say?
What do you got? So he walks into Nineveh. And by the way, the city of Nineveh was 3 days' journey across this bad boy, which is anywhere from 30 miles to 90 miles, depending on what the day's journey would have been. Average day journey was probably about 10 miles, probably 30 miles across it. It was a town of 120,000 people.
Oh, wow.
He walks a day's journey into it, meaning he walks 10 miles into it. See, we got to get our head around this. This is, you're on foot here. Mm-hmm. So he walks a day's journey into Nineveh and he says, I'm the dude that was spit out by the fish. I can hardly believe it myself, but I'm here to tell you, repent.
Yep.
And they're thinking, repent or go into the belly yourself.
Thank you.
Think we're going to
I don't want to look like you, so okay, what do I got to do?
He probably still had shriveled skin for being so moist so long.
And the people of Nineveh, they believe God. They call for a fast. I mean, they are They are moved by this.
Oh, yeah.
And Jonah, this is the funny part of the story, Jonah gets mad. He's mad that God is showing mercy and compassion to these people. He's like, this is exactly what I knew was going to happen.
They didn't get punished.
Yeah, and it's really cool because this is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. He tells God, for I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, .. And I hated these people. He goes on to say, I put that in, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? I mean, Jonah's ticked off that he is in Nineveh. And God is extending his grace. By the way, this whole story ends in chapter 4 with a question. It's the only book of the Bible that ends with a question. If I'm mistaken on that, somebody correct me. But I believe that's the case. Somewhere I remember hearing that back in Denver Seminary. But he asks, and he asks the question. Basically, the question is, listen, these people in Nineveh didn't know what their left hand went from their right hand. They didn't know what was going on. In other words, they didn't know right from wrong. So I had to send you into them. And it tacks on. And they had a lot of cattle, which is really weird. I don't get that one. I'm going to ask God, what's the cattle got to do with the city of Nineveh? But here's what it means. This is a going concern with 120,000 people. Let's give them a fair shot at holiness and righteousness. And you know what? They so believed God that they actually repented in sackcloth and ashes for a time. How cool is that?
I mean, really it's cool. A great story. So here's what we want to ask you as you're listening to that. Jonah was running from the call of God. That's how he ended up on the water, in the water, in the fish to begin with. Have you ever ran from God's calling? And if so, what did he do to bring you back? What brought you back? 312-274-9624.
I had Luis Palau rebuke me one time.
Oh.
That's a voice that would be hard to hear rebuke from.
Luis doesn't rebuke really well.
Okay.
He just gave me a... Carl! I need you to listen to me.
Were you pulling a little bit of a Jonah?
He thought I was.
Okay.
So when Luis is speaking, you want to listen.
You listen. Yeah, you
wasn't
do.
In the belly of a fish, but hang on.
Jonah was a prophet of God. I bring you a message from the Lord.
There was a message that would change Jonah's life.
All right, name the town. What? Nineveh?
There was the biggest, meanest city around.
I am not going to Nineveh!
God wanted to offer mercy to the Ninevites.
What's mercy?
It's what this whole story is about.
Mercy.
I admit it. It's my fault. All my fault. I worship the God of heaven, and I'm running away from him. He told me to go to Nineveh, but I didn't listen.
There we have a little bit of VeggieTales clip right there. The full thing took 20-some minutes.
Moisey.
He was sending Moisey. At first, I'm like, Moisey?
Yeah, what is that?
Why is he calling Jonah Moisey? No. Mercy.
Mercy.
6:16 is our time. So, Luis Palau. We called him Louie Palooey, affectionately.
I love it.
But Luis Palau, I'm in New York City with him. And he says to me, I keep hearing you tell people that you're a radio host and a pastor. Why are you not calling yourself what you are? I said, well, what do you mean, Luis? Carl, you're an evangelist. Quit apologizing for how God has made you.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
Oh,
isn't that something? So Luis is in the cloud of witnesses now, and he had a bit of a point, and that is, he said he knows that some terms have kind of lost their punch, or maybe they've been overpunched, or they get abused or something. But he's like, you better call yourself what you are, and then you'll be better off fulfilling it. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
What had made you resistant to that? What were you kind of running from a little bit or shying away from?
In the circles that I run with, it's okay to call yourself a leader or a pastor or maybe a preacher. But hi, my name's Carl. I'm an evangelist.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I get the stigma that kind of comes with that. And so it may be a little like off-putting.
So Luis and I settled on a compromise. He says, you can call yourself a pastor evangelist. That's fine. And Luis, if you're in the cloud of witnesses, you have any recollection with us, if you have any awareness of what's going on right now, I'm still working on that evangelist part.
Oh, that's so great.
Isn't that funny?
That is funny.
We want to hear from you. Have you ever run from God's call or resisted what God wanted you to do? What did it take to bring you back? Was it a word from a brother or sister in Christ who challenged you or called you higher? Was it something else? Sometimes God will use something to get your attention, to get you on track. What was it? What was you were running from? What were you running from? And how did God bring you back? 312-274-9624. This came in by text message. It was the parents of a couple teenagers. Their marriage was in trouble. They'd been married 14 years, but they were headed toward divorce. There was some drug use. There was some alcohol use. Then the house next door went up for sale, and the couple that bought it, they didn't know it at the time, but this couple, they were pastors. So these new people, they come on Valentine's Day with some cookies for this family just to meet them and say hi. They had two little girls, and then another little time passed, and then they find out they're pastors. So they go, oh, well, we might want to start closing the windows when we fight so that the pastors next door don't hear it. Then this family needed a babysitter. So they call on the pastor's daughter and they train her to be a babysitter. And then they invited their teens to the youth group. And then this, I'm going to start reading the text here. The next few months, 9/11 happened.
Oh, wow.
A house blew up in our neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
Then November 2001, we were tired of running from God. We told the kids, let's try the neighbor's church, but we won't go every Sunday. That's when God won us. Now, 20 years later, we are following him. Since then, the pastors have moved away, but we still visit them and their family of now five girls. Incredible story. Our marriage is stronger than ever. We've adopted two children. The road is not easy, but with God, it's easier. 20 years later.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
I hear guys like Bill Maher. It's Real Time with Bill Maher, isn't it? Something like that.
That's Real Talk, I believe. Oh, I thought it was Real Time.
Real Time with Bill Maher. Anyway, okay. It's an HBO show. And I love Bill Maher, not because he's crass and curses and all that stuff, because he does, but because he's honest.
Yeah.
He's one of the few honest guys in media anymore. Now, he's lost as a goose and doesn't know God and proud of it, frankly. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that he brings on Christians to debate with him, and he brings on intellectual Christians. And sometimes when he gets pinned on something, he'll get pinned. But when he loves to take on Christians, he loves to call us people that believe the fable like Jonah in a whale. Mm. Oh, yeah. You believe in a guy that went into a whale's belly for 3 days. Ha ha. And then he just guffaws at us.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you something. This is an interesting confession I'm going to make. There was a time early in my faith that I was embarrassed over some Bible stories, being really honest with you. Mm. I thought some of them seemed a little bit far-fetched.
Like embarrassed if somebody would challenge you
on
them?
Yes, kind of like, oh, yeah, the whale story. Yeah, that's
weird. How do I tell that one, yeah.
Let me tell you something. I do not flinch over this at all anymore. And let me tell you why. Just take some, let me just do an apologetics from an interesting angle here. Take, for instance, flight. You ready for this? It's been 115 years, I think, ago that we got a first man off the ground. 115 years, guys.
And that's not a lot of time.
No, this is not a lot of time. No. Remember, I read to you from my great-great-grandfather's Bible here just a couple of weeks ago. He never saw a plane get off the ground. He didn't live to see it. He lived right here in this city.
Yeah.
He listened to Moody. He never saw a plane over the city. We get really in a bubble mindset.
Right. and thinking that the way things are now
is how they've always been.
Right.
No, no. You take Bill Maher back 150 years ago and have a 747 filled with people buzz him at about 300 feet. What would happen to Bill Maher?
Oh, he'd be terrified. What
in the world? Die of a heart attack.
You might.
Or have, like you said earlier, have drones come over Bill Maher and drop a pizza on his head. Okay?
Self-driving vehicles.
Yes!
Oh, I mean, okay. There are things that are would have been so crazy to even think were possible 10 years ago.
Yeah, hand a person my phone, give them the satellite image of the storm that came over our home this morning that knocked the power out about 10 times consecutively. But have them look at my phone and say, look, you can see the whole storm front here on this screen. They'd think you're demonized. They would. They would think that there's something satanic going on here or something supernaturally from God. Nothing right. in between because you couldn't explain it. Listen to me. Our God is an awesome God. Boom crew. Believe it, baby. Jonah got gobbled up by a whale. God pulled it off. Because God wanted to miraculously confirm his deity to a city of 120,000 people who were far from God. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.